morning, clap.
Good morning, church. Happy Easter to you. Welcome to worship at Trinity United Church of Christ. Easter worship, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are indeed welcome here. It is so great to look out and see this great crowd with family members. Some of you I don't know, but I'm glad that you're here. In terms of announcements, there's just a few things in your bulletin you might want to notice. Tomorrow is we'll have prayer in the sanctuary at 2:30, and then tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, it's an all-teams meeting. That means if you're a member of a team, that would be education, worship, parish life, property, or outreach. You're invited and encouraged to attend this meeting as we talk about how we'll organize for the rest of the year and maybe for 2024. If you're not on a team and you're just curious and want to come and find out, you're more than welcome. Everyone will be welcome at 6 o'clock tomorrow night. Wednesday, we have our confirmation class resuming and a bridge team meeting at 6 p.m. So that's the main announcements for the coming week. And you'll notice that we're getting very close to our Lenten mission goal for our Dove House in Jasper. Our goal is $5,000, and we're at $3,910, so we're very close. And that's very exciting to see. Is there any other information that you would like to share with one another at this time? Mark has something up there in the top.
Yes, I'm up here in the balcony today. Good morning.
Good morning.
The timeline is still out there in the foyer area, and since there are people coming in from different, they're traveling in to be with family, maybe you might want to add something to the timeline. The timeline is basically a timeline of activities that took place that is significant to you, and so we mark them on the timeline, and then we will display the timeline here in the future, probably in the hallway somewhere. So.
Yes.
Appreciate anybody that wants to fill anything out. Thank you.
Yes. Please find your spot on the timeline. We want to know what happened to you when and here. Sarah has some information.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say thank you to all those who contributed to the Sullivan relief, the tornado relief last week. We took several bags and garbage bags of clothing or of supplies. And they are very appreciative that they're no longer taking food, but they will take, bedding and cleaning supplies and towels and things. So they will, I'm taking them to Miriam probably toward the end of the week if there's something here in the corner, because then they will either use them at Miriam or take them to Sullivan County where they'll be used for the relief. Now, Miriam said that they are... People have not signed up yet to stay there, but they've been housing the relief workers who have been going into Sullivan County to clear up the brush and the trees and everything. And we saw a lot of it when we went there. There's just trees down all over the place and metal strewn all over. So they really did get hit pretty hard. And the money that you give, if you make it out to Miriam, they will probably either use it or take it to Sullivan. They'll sign it and give it to Sullivan, to the relief. What we collected, thank you for this, was $1,625. So thank you so much for your monetary donations, because that's going to be very needed. So thank you again for all your contributions for the tornado victims. Thank you,
Sarah. $1,625 is pretty amazing for one Sunday. Adam.
Easter eggs that you may find in the queue are just not for the kids, they can be for the adults as well. We just ask that you take the goodies out there, and then there is a basket right outside the sanctuary here. If you could just place them in there, it'd be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you, Adam. Any other information you'd like to share with one another at this time? It's really great to see a great crowd here on Easter morning. If there is no other information, then I want to invite, let's share God's peace together. Peace within us, peace over us. Let all around us be at peace. I want to invite you to stand and let's sing together our welcoming song, Christ the Lord is Risen Today. Let us join in our invitation to worship responsively. The stone has been rolled away.
The grave rolls are lying in a heap.
The body is gone.
Mary's weeping is halted by questions.
Why are you crying?
Who is it you are looking for?
Let us proclaim with Mary.
We have seen the risen Lord.
Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let us join together in our morning prayer. Imaginative God, sometimes we feel this story is so old, we don't hear the amazing good news of triumph over death. We're so afraid of our own shadows, we can't see your light of life streaming all around us. Convinced there's nothing beyond the days we call life, we're not able to grasp your resurrection hope and calls to us by name. On this day of astonishing wonders, help us rejoice and know you have not forgotten us. Help us find hope in the ancient promises proclaimed to us afresh this morning. Help us to turn from our questions and doubts and point our hearts toward Jesus, as he calls us by name and pours God's resurrection love over us. We pray in the name of our risen Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Amen.
Our scripture reading today is from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early in the morning on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone was moved away from the entrance. She ran at once to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, gasping for breath. "They took the master from the tomb. We don't know where they've put him." Peter and the other disciple left immediately for the tomb. They ran neck and neck. The other disciple got to the tomb first, outrunning Peter. Stooping to look in, he saw the pieces of linen cloth lying there, but he didn't go in. Simon Peter arrived after him, entered the tomb, observed the linen cloth lying there, and the kerchief used to cover his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but separate, neatly folded by itself. Then the other disciple, the one who had gotten there first, went into the tomb, took one look at the evidence, and believed. No one yet knew from the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The disciples then went back home. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. As she wept, she knelt to look into the tomb and saw two angels sitting there, dressed in white, one at the head, the other at the foot of where Jesus' body had been laid. They said to her, "Woman, why do you weep?" "They took my master," she said, "and I don't know where they put him." After she said this, she turned away and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't recognize him. Jesus spoke to her, "Woman, why do you weep? Who are you looking for?" She, thinking that he was the gardener, said, "Sir, if you took him, tell me where you put him so I can care for him." Jesus said, "Mary." Turning to face him, she said in Hebrew, "Rabboni," meaning teacher. Jesus said, "Don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to Almighty God. Go to my brothers and tell them, I ascend to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went, telling the news to the disciples. "I saw the Master," and she told them everything he had said to her.
May God bless that reading, as well as your hearing. It is indeed God's holy word. Peter visiting us this morning. I'll never forget that morning. I finally dozed off to sleep. Just about dawn was beginning to break when I heard this loud pounding at my door. It startled me, yet in a way I'd been expecting it. I mean, who wouldn't be jumpy after all we'd been through? I stumbled to the door, bracing myself for whatever or whoever might be on the other side, and needless to say, I was relieved as I cracked it open to see it was only Mary, all out of breath, looking as white as a sheet. I threw open the door, and she burst into hysterical tears, throwing herself into my arms. "They've taken it away. They've taken it away. The Lord's body is gone, and I don't know where they put him. Oh, Peter, I don't know where to find him." And John came over and tried to calm Mary down. She said she had been to the tomb, and she had agreed to meet the other women there so they could anoint and prepare the body for a proper burial. But she hadn't been able to sleep, so she went early to spend some time alone with him before the others arrived. And when she got there, that huge stone over the entrance to the tomb had been rolled back. Well, she was frightened and feared the very worst. John and I looked at each other. Hadn't we said that just last night to each other? They, you know, the Romans, might do something like this. Even the Pharisees might be in on the scheme. Fearing that we would rob the tomb, they simply beat us to it, so then they could disprove any story we might concoct. But who knows? There's no telling who might have taken that body or where they'd put it. It was all so unbelievable. I mean, sometimes I could hardly believe that he was dead. And other times, the reality of it all just made me sick. Sick over what the crowd had shouted. Sick over what Judas had done. Sick over my own guilt and how I'd vowed never to leave him, that I would always stick by him no matter what. And then, in a pinch, I said I didn't even know him. My master. I denied even knowing him. And what was worse, he knew I was going to do it. He even told me so. Of course, I didn't believe him then. I was such a jerk. And now here I was, all shrouded in guilt and shame, having done nothing to stop anything in the whole process. I'd just been sitting around while someone robbed the tomb. And what's more, I'd probably get blamed for it. I mean, I deserved the blame. But Mary was so overcome. Her grief was making her crazy. You know, women put a lot of emotion into preparing the oils and the spices and the body for burial. It's sort of the beginning of their grief process. So all of Mary's emotions, her love, her devotion, her need to give this last gift to her Lord had now all been taken away. And it was more than she could bear. And John and I realized we needed to find that body, even just for Mary. Even if no one else ever knew that we found it, we needed to do it for Mary. In our own ways, we all loved her despite her open and sometimes embarrassing displays of emotion. Maybe at the same instant, we ask her, "Are you sure the body is gone? I mean, did you go in and look?" "Well, no," she said. "When I saw the stone was rolled away, I was so frightened by what that meant. I mean, those soldiers guarding the tomb must have been inside, and it was still dark. I was all alone. I mean, I couldn't go in there. Are you crazy?" "No, I just ran here." "Oh, Peter, why did they do it? I'll never see my Lord again." And then another flood of tears came as she buried her head in my shoulder. And for some reason, either I was angry at myself or just frustrated with this hysterical woman, or maybe I was just finally overcome with all the terrible jumble of events over the past few days. And at any rate, I lost my patience. And I pushed her away, and I was just about ready to tell her to shut up. And John, you know, always so compassionate and understanding, he took her to himself and he held her for a long moment until she quieted down. "Don't worry, Mary," I heard him say. "We'll find out where they've taken his body. We'll find it for you." And then he looked over at me over her shoulder and he mouthed, "Let's go to the tomb." "Oh, right, good idea." I nodded and I grabbed my cloak and I rushed out the door. Yeah, I know I should have waited for John. But somehow I couldn't. I mean, if I stopped, I might not start again. So I just took off running. But at a slower pace, you know, to give John time to catch up with me. He must have taken another moment to quiet Mary, assure her that we would figure it out. And then he was also out the door running as fast as he could toward the tomb. And it only moments he caught up with me, but hardly even looked at me as he ran past me, motioning me to hurry up. So I sped up, but there was really no catching John. He must have been at least 10 years my junior. And when I got there, he was still at the entrance, just kneeling, looking in. I must have caught him in a moment of worship. You know, he was like that, unexpectedly communing with God whenever he perceived he was on holy ground, as he called it. Sometimes I think he pretended to be Moses. So I just came up to where he was kneeling, but I couldn't see anything. I mean, he was in the way. So I just brushed past him and went in. And then I stopped, dumbfounded by what I saw. His body wasn't there, but the grave cloths were lying untouched, as if the body had been moved without them or had been lifted through them. Now, if the soldiers had moved the body, why had they taken the grave cloths off? And how? I mean, why? And how had they put them back like that? I mean, wait. How could they have put them back like that? And then I saw what John had been seeing as he knelt at the tomb's entrance. I realized the grave cloths were lying as if the body was still wrapped in them. I stood there silently trying to understand what had happened, still dumbfounded by the whole thing. And I stood there looking at the place where Jesus' body had been. I noticed that the linen napkin, you know, the piece that wrapped around his head, well, it was rolled off neatly by itself in the corner near his head. It had obviously been placed there by whoever removed it. But the fact that it was rolled up so neatly and perfectly, it made no sense at all. And at that point, John came into the tomb and I showed it to him. He nodded. as if in agreement. And then he started saying, yes, yes, yes. He was looking at me so strangely. His eyes were just wide with wonder. Peter, he said, do you know what this means? Do you understand? Look at those grave cloths and that linen napkin. Can't you see what has happened? Oh, Peter, it's true. It's true. It's all true. Well, I couldn't see. I didn't understand. I couldn't figure out what John was getting at. I just put that linen napkin back down, thoroughly confused, maybe a little disgusted, tired of this whole mess. And I left the tomb, shaking my head. I walked home, trying not to notice the fresh air and the new blossoms on the trees and the bright flowers in the field. And I remember asking myself if they had been there before that morning. And I knew I should try and figure out what I was going to tell Mary when I got back. But my mind was so full of jumbled thoughts, I just couldn't even think straight. Besides, it was John who'd told her we'd find that body. Let him figure out what to tell her. I was just going home. Go to sleep. I wanted to be alone without Mary and her fears and her tears and without John and all his hopes and visions. Let them think whatever they wanted to think. It was all over anyway. The whole 3 years of learning and caring and giving. I just go back to fishing, being a normal person. Well, when I arrived home, Mary wasn't there. I found out later she had gone back to the tomb after we left, but she wasn't there, but all the other guys were. And they were trying to organize something, but I just let them be. They'd find out soon enough. What was there to say anyway? It was just all crazy. None of it made any sense. In fact, nothing made sense anymore. I sat down to breakfast and I kept my mouth shut. But not more than half hour passed when there was another loud pounding at the door. And again, it was Mary standing before us expectantly, yet this time she was different. It was as if she was in a trance of mysterious wonder, and it was evident she had something to tell us. Maybe she and John had found the body. The room grew very quiet as she looked carefully at each of us. It was almost a whisper when she finally spoke. I've seen the Master. I've seen the Lord. I've seen our Lord. That's all she could say. And we sat there looking at her, trying to hear and understand what she had said. We all looked at each other. We all looked back at Mary. And then John followed her in, and it's true, he said, I saw it all. Mary had gone back to the tomb, but this time, she looked in and saw two angels, one where his head had been and the other at his feet. And they asked her why she was crying. She told them what she had told us. They've taken his body away. I don't know where they put him. Her sobs mounted as she spoke, but yet before they could answer, she turned away. She trying to hide her deepening sobs in her fresh, open, raw grief from strangers, even heavenly ones. And that's when the caretaker of the garden, she saw the caretaker of the garden, who also asked her, woman, why are you crying? Well, who are you looking for? Had he overheard her speaking to the angels about his body being taken away and not knowing where to find him? Maybe he put the body somewhere, you know, for safekeeping. And maybe he'd tell her if she promised to keep it quiet. Oh, sir, she sobbed, if you've carried him away somewhere, please just tell me where you've laid him. I'll take him away. His body will be safe with me. And again, she turned away to hide her grief and that ceaseless flow of tears. So when he spoke, calling her name, saying, Mary, the way no one else ever said Mary, she hesitated and she whirled around to see her Lord and her Master standing alive before her very eyes. And she fell at his feet. clutching his waist, but he wouldn't let her cling to him. He said he had not yet ascended to Almighty God, but he did tell me to come and tell you. He called you his brothers. He said to tell you he was ascending to God, his God, your God, our God. He made it clear that we were his family now in a way that we'd never been before. So here I am, and I'm telling you, I have seen the Master. I have seen the Lord, my Lord, your, our Lord. And I'll never forget the look, the love, the wonder, oh, and the joy that filled Mary's countenance. She was so full of hope and praise and power and excitement. Whatever she had seen had changed her. You know, we can know a person sometimes for years, yet never really see that person, never see their essence or the depth of their souls, the qualities that make him or her unique and valuable in God's sight. So what does it mean when we say to another person, I see you? What do we see? What do we see when we are able to look and say to another, I see you. I see who you are. I see what you're all about. What are your passions and your heart, your beliefs, your trust, and your hope? I see you, and I value you. Maybe for the first time, or maybe in a new sense, Mary had actually seen her Lord, seen his essence, the depth of his soul, and was impacted so deeply. Her entire countenance was glorious. She was a new Mary, a changed Mary. Everything about her was different because of what she had seen. The very heart and soul of God. That inexplicable love. And then I saw her, Mary. And it made me burn with desire because I wanted to see him too. The way she had, I wanted to see, I wanted to receive whatever it was Mary had received. I wanted to be in his glorious presence and have that same look of assurance, of knowledge, that same faith and hope and joy because of what I had seen. God's very heart, God's soul. I could see something special had flooded her soul. I saw her knowledge, her assurance that Jesus had indeed risen from the grave, victorious over suffering and death, alive in living color. It was truly a glorious day of rejoicing. I then saw Mary as Jesus saw her and as she saw her Lord. And she assured us that we would also see him, and we did. We all saw him that evening in ways we hadn't seen him before. We saw his essence, his beauty, his love, his forgiveness, his power to raise us to live life in a new way. And we soon realized the importance of seeing others as God sees them, full of potential, filled with value, as those God calls to help build up God's kingdom on earth. And we realized seeing Jesus, who he is, seeing the depth of his soul and the depth of his love, is the most exciting, glorious, powerful experience anyone can ever have. And then we realized we could continue to see him every day in those around us. We just needed to adjust our vision to see what Jesus sees, to see what God sees in each of us, to see the potential of all that we can be and become, to see the value God has instilled in each person that God created. You know, sometimes, rather than our vision always centering on what's positive and possible, we allow our vision to center on what's negative and makes us uncomfortable. Yet, church, God is calling us to see our Lord and to see one another, to see the depth of another's souls. For when we truly see each other's essence, then our entire lives will be affected. God's calling us to see one another as a congregation so we can be and become what God sees as our preferred future. God's calling us to see one another, to know each other so well that this unity of heart and mind and soul develops, that it binds us together, it connects us with God and who God is calling us as a congregation to be and become. When we see our Lord and we see one another, then we have this deep connection, this appreciation and understanding and acceptance. We value each person's gifts and graces. We see what God values and begin to trust that God wants to raise our congregation to live life in a new way so we can be seen in this community as a congregation who blesses and values others and helps them find a new way to live life. So let's decide to see one another the way our Lord, and to see one another the way our God sees us, full of hope and potential and possibility to build up God's kingdom on earth. Let's invest in the power of seeing what God wants to do in us and with us and through us in this same time and place. And all of God's beloved people said together, amen. Our song of prayer this morning is one of your favorites, "I Come to the Garden Alone," number 237.
I come to the
joys, what thanksgivings and hopes do you bring with you to worship today? Mike.
God has made us the custodians of this nation. We need to take very good care of it and thank God for his precious son, Jesus, every day.
You're so right. What other joys or thanksgivings do you have? How about needs, concerns, situations, and circumstances? People we need to lift in prayer today. Cindy.
We have a friend whose great-grandson was in an accident, and he needs your prayer. He's at Riley's, and we'd ask you to keep him in prayer this week for healing and the family.
And what's his first name?
Mason. Mason. He's 4 years old.
Any others? I know there are folks within this congregation who are preparing for some important surgeries. We do want to lift them and keep them in prayer. So I want to invite you to take a deep breath and become aware that God has blessed all of us in ways we can't even imagine. God has given us people and places, homes, churches, together freely, to worship together, to be together, to see each other. A deep breath, really just to thank God for all the ways God wants to be active in our lives, both as individuals and also as a congregation. And finally, another deep breath just to consciously bind ourselves together as God's people so that when we go in prayer before God, we go together as a community of faith. Let us pray. Most majestic God of all glory and all grace, God of empty tombs and fresh horizons, we thank you for giving us this opportunity to worship Jesus as our risen Lord. I mean, it's not really possible for us to put into words our joy and our thanksgiving over the reason we celebrate this day. We do know you're a God of miracles, a God of might, a God who can raise even the dead to life again. You are a God who longs to fill us, each of us, with abundant life, your life. And we do want to be raised up to walk in a newness of life, God, as individuals and also as a congregation. We want to experience this new life that you're desiring to give us. So we ask you to send your Holy Spirit among us today to open our hearts and our minds, our eyes and our ears and our lives so we can receive and experience the resurrection power that Jesus has now made possible. It can be so easy, God, to celebrate without really understanding the celebration. So we ask you to show us so we can see Jesus, his essence, and the power of the resurrection and all that he has made possible for us. Take away our fear so his power will reign supreme in our lives and in our ministry as a congregation. We want to be his disciples. We want to see others and value them as you see and value us. We want to be as loving and forgiving as kind. We want to serve one another and love one another the same way you love and serve us. We want others to be drawn into our fellowship so they can also experience a new way to live life with new hope and new power. So please, God, bless our efforts as well as our methods and our message. Fill our prayers with a sense of hope and expectancy and courage as we pray for those in need. Even now, God, we lift the needs of loved ones, family members, friends, asking you to continue to send comfort to those who grieve, healing to those who are in pain, answers to those who are dealing with confusion or stress, words of encouragement to those who are filled with fear or longing. Use us, God, so that the power of Christ's presence can reach them, even now. We lift up those for whom we are thankful today. We remember to lift Mason and Larry and others not mentioned by name, God. And as always, we're thankful for the privilege and the power of prayer, for the promise that you've heard and you will answer. For we pray all of our prayers, those that have been spoken aloud and those that have been uttered from our silent yet earnest hearts, through the power of your Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. For he is the one who taught us to pray together in this manner. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know, we often say seeing is believing, because what we see with our own eyes will impact the decisions that we make and how we interact with others. Yet the real secret of seeing is believing isn't a matter of just our physical vision. It's what we see with our spiritual eyes when we see another person's essence, another person's soul, their hopes, their dreams, their values, their truth. And what we see will determine what we believe, and what we believe will determine how we share our resources. And when we begin to see and value those that God's going to put in our daily path, then we will want to share what God has given us. If we only look with our physical eyes, we're going to see flaws and shortcomings. Yet when we look with our spiritual eyes, we can't even allow one person to pass without acknowledging how much God values that person. When we share our resources with those in need, we reveal how much we're using our spiritual eyes to see all the possibilities and potential God places in our line of vision. So let's be generous as we find values in others, and as that we allow God's Spirit to empower our sight and discover who God is calling us to be and become in this community. Let's pray together our prayer of dedication for the offerings we have made today. Majestic One, Today we celebrate the miracle you created for all who are ready to receive it. Your absolute decree of the risen Son reminds us our faith is intimately connected to your amazing, unwavering love. The unconditional love you repeatedly shower upon us is also our reminder we are to love all of your children. Bless and multiply these gifts so the promises of a seemingly distant heaven become a reality here on earth. Glory, hallelujah, we pray in the name of the risen one. Amen and amen. That same day, as two somber figures were walking the road to Emmaus, they were sharing their grief over Jesus' death, and a stranger joined them. He interrupted their conversation and began to speak to them about the scriptures, interpreting passages and revealing truths to them. And when they did arrive in Emmaus, they invited that stranger to share a meal and stay the night with them. He agreed. And as they shared the meal, he took bread. He held it in his hands, asked God to bless it, and he broke it into pieces. He offered it to them. And at that point, their physical and their spiritual eyes were opened, and they saw who the stranger was. Yet before they could respond, he vanished from their sight. But they jumped up and hurried out the door and ran all the way back to Jerusalem to find the others and to tell them they had also seen Jesus. He had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. They saw his essence. You know, they had trudged to Emmaus thinking the party was all over. Yet to their surprise, they learned the party had just begun. You know, every time we break this bread and we share this cup, Jesus is once again seeking to make himself known to us. He wants us to see him in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup, to remind us that the party has only just begun. He's alive. He's overcome sin and suffering and death. He's risen from the grave. So we have such cause to celebrate. Even as we remember that it was indeed on the night Jesus was to be betrayed, he took bread and asked God to bless it. And then he broke it. His disciples watched as he passed it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body. It is given for you, my gift to you." And in the same manner, after the supper, he took the cup, once again asked God to bless it, and then he passed it around the table to his disciples, and he said to them, "Drink of this, all of you. This is the cup of a new covenant that I make with you. It's about my blood being poured out, my love for you being poured out over you, so that you might receive forgiveness, so that you might extend it, you might receive love and give it away. Do this and remember me." So let us do as he has asked. If you find your bread, let us share it together. and you find your cup, let us share it together. I invite you to stand. Let's sing our song of going forth. Christ arose. Let's join together in our blessing and benediction to go forth. Let us go forth into the world walking in the joy and the peace of the resurrection of Jesus, the Christ.
We go forth to care for God's redeemed creation.
Let us go forth to follow Christ as children of the light.
We go forth.
Let us go forth to glorify Christ by our dedication and love.
We go forth so God may bless us with God's gift of the Holy Spirit and be with us until God's kingdom comes.
Alleluia. Amen.